Welcome back to the Sermon Coach Podcast from sermoncoach.com with Dr. David Mays. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking about helping pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, David, we've talked about four key questions needing to be answered early on in a minister's sermon preparation. Is this something you still do every time you work on a sermon?
Yeah, I'm not a hypocrite.
That's good to know.
I do what I tell people, and that's true whether I'm doing a topical sermon or whether I'm doing a textual sermon. I'm not sure which I do more of, but either way, I'm going to say I got to get my subject, make sure that's clear in my mind, need the response being called for, the how to and the how long, and once I have those, then I'm ready to put the sermon together, yes.
Okay, now let's say a pastor's new at all of this. What he or she's been taught in seminary is a three-point sermon approach. So what do you tell that minister as far as integrating what we've been sharing into what that person was taught in seminary?
Okay, I would ask them to try a different approach for a change. And I've had ministers who work very hard on the answer to those four questions, then they go back and preach the way they've always preached. And when they're all done, they've asked me to evaluate. And I said, you know what? I heard your whole sermon, but I never knew what your subject was because you never told me. And I never knew what the response you wanted. And I never knew the how to or the how long. So you had all those down, but you never got them in your sermon. I did get your sermon outline. I know you preached 3 points and all that. But somehow it's like what you did early on in preparation never got into the rest of what was put together. And I realize, having had that happen often enough, that I'm asking ministers to make a big jump now, because once they get those answers, how do you put that into a sermon presentation? So I say to them, this may sound a little bit dorky to you, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to figure out what you're going to say about the subject that is important, to get people into the subject so they know what it is you're talking about. Then I want you to tell them what is the response being called for, and make that very clear. Then you're going to give the how to, and then you're going to give the how long, and then you're done. So you're just going to go through that sequence in terms of actually your presentation. And they say, that won't take me very long. I say, it doesn't matter to me if it takes 4 minutes or it takes 25 minutes. That's what I want you to do. Well, that's like asking them to do something they're very uncomfortable with. But once they get used to it, that's kind of the sequence. Now, that's not always how I preach. You know, sometimes I'll start with a closing illustration and work it all around, but that's what I'm trying to cover, those 4 points. So I was driving home the other day from the airport, and I heard a guy on radio, religious radio, and I still remember his outline, and he was very good. He was an African-American preacher, and his points were, he was talking about failure. That was his subject, when you fail. And he said, failure isn't futile. You can learn lessons from it. Failure isn't final. It's not the end of the world, and now you've failed, and life's over. And failure isn't fatal, so that once you've failed, you know, you're a dead duck. And so, and he was very good. He was a storyteller. He had a lot of stories. But at the same time, I remember his outline. Now, so I knew what his subject was. The response that he wanted from me, I kind of would say that he wanted me to say that failure isn't futile, it's not final, it's not fatal. He never said that. So he made his 3 points, and then he kind of closed. And when it was all done, it was still confusing as to what he wanted by way of response. And if he had a how-to, it wasn't there. I could kind of make it up in my mind. I could say, okay, I mean, all of us have failed. So you can say, okay, I failed, and then you pull that back in your mind. Then you say, was it fatal? No, I still kept on living. Was it final? No, I failed. Everybody's failed, you know. And was it futile? No, I think I learned some lessons out of it. So I think he kind of wanted me to see those, but he didn't put it into a practical how-to. Now, how to do that? I think he probably needed to say, okay, let me give you a card so that these reminders are here. Somehow, what he said was very interesting. I listened to him. He was humorous. He had a lot of listener response. There were amens, like in a black congregation, and all that, and it was very good, but probably most people won't remember it next time they're faced with a failure scenario. So the question was, some people were going through, he never got to the place where he said, some of you are going through failure now. Some of you are going to have to relate to past failures in your life. And is this the way you acted, or did you not do what I'm suggesting? Somehow he never got to that practical side. When it was all done, and I think, Dean, this is the way a lot of people judge ministers, it was very entertaining and inspirational to listen to. But how much it was going to stick, I don't know. You know, so the question he hadn't worked through in his mind was, how do I take what I'm saying and put it into the lives of you people who are struggling with this right now or will struggle with it, you know, so that when the time comes, you still have it and it's with you. So somehow those things never got there. So I would say to him, you know, if you're going to, you got a subject, failure, fine, you got more than enough stories to get into that topic. And what you're going to say to people, I probably wouldn't have said make 3 points, but I'd probably say, you know, it's not futile. You can learn from this. It's not, in my mind, final and fatal were pretty close. So, you know, life doesn't end when you fail. So, and I would then I'd say, here's what I'm asking you to do. And I want you to put this somewhere so that you can get to it. And you say, you know, I'm not a person who fails, but everybody's going to face that sooner or later. So when it comes, you can say, I want to go back to what Pastor said, and I want to tie it to a text. It somehow it never got there, but if he had gone subject, response, how to, and how long, you know, those of you who are going through it now, this is what I'm going to say to you. It's painful. You probably are going to go through a process, but keep telling yourself what I'm telling you and so on. It would have been a better sermon if he had just followed the subject, response, how to, how long. As it was, it tended to end up 3 points in an outline, but how long that's going to stick with people, I don't know. Even so, you know, you say, do I remember? Yeah, I remember exactly what he said. So more power to him. Could it have been more effective? Yeah, it could have been.
One of the things I heard you say is that this framework of subject, response, how to, and how long are not necessarily the sequence that you may sequence a sermon. You do want to let them know very early what the subject is, but you're not going to necessarily strictly move through those 4 points sequentially every time. Is that right?
If it's the first time a person's trying it and they're struggling with how to do it, that's an easy way to do it, just sequentially. Okay. I don't think that's necessarily what I'm saying to people because I don't follow that myself all the time.
Okay.
But I do know that every time I preach, I've covered those 4 areas.
Okay. Now, the text, the sermon text, biblical passage is so important. Where do you introduce that into the framework?
That's a really good question. And it could be introduced early on. It could be introduced later. You and I watched, when I was at your house last time, we watched a very well-known televangelist. And his sermon that he talked about was how God has expectations for you that are far beyond anything you ever imagined, and it's going to happen. And that's characteristic of God, that he likes to surprise us in wonderful ways. That's kind of, in its essence, what he was talking about. You remember what I'm...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, he introduced his text probably 3/4 of the way into his sermon, and it just popped. I mean, when he gave that text, all of a sudden it was like God put his stamp on what was being said, and it was powerful. You know, he held that text out forever. And when he did put the text in there, it also said, not only this is what I'm telling you, this is what God's telling you. And that was a phenomenal sermon as I watched that. Now, where did he put his text? He put it almost at the very end in a half-hour sermon. You could put it up at the beginning. You can put it wherever you want, wherever it fits. In my mind, you don't want to just do it as an afterthought at the end because your text is what is working for you. I don't like the idea of ministers who get up and say, let me read my text, and then, because that's kind of a boring way to start a sermon, I think, just to read a text. I think you can jump into a sermon a lot easier than that. But and I'm not going against what people call biblical preaching. You know, I know a lot of preachers, they just, you know, they got to get that text so it's dominant. But it can work anywhere, as long as if you are preaching a textual sermon, as long as you deal with that text in a way that is appropriate and fitting, then that's fine. I probably would not wait as nearly as long as that guy we watched to put my text in there, because I would just be more prone to put it up early on, but what he did was really effective.